Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, NVIDIA announced, well, a ton of things. Also, two new AI tools show that video is having an AI moment, an update on how TikTok is faring in the Senate, and an interesting raise from a startup that wants to become a major new platform in gaming. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. I know this is sort of a trope of mine to say this, but there was a time when an NVIDIA developer event wouldn't necessarily be worth our time to talk about. But here we are, batting down the hatches for a bunch of NVIDIA news. Yesterday, NVIDIA announced Blackwell, a new generation of AI chips available later this year, starting with the GB200 superchip, which pairs two B200 GPUs with a Grace CPU. They say this can process a large language model 25 times more cheaply and efficiently than the H100, quoting CNBC. Every 2 years, NVIDIA updates its GPU architecture, unlocking a big jump in performance. Many of the AI models released over the past year were trained on the company's Hopper architecture used by chips such as the H100, which was announced in 2022. NVIDIA says Blackwell-based processors like the GB200 offer a huge performance upgrade for AI companies with 20 petaflops in AI performance versus 4 petaflops for the H100. The additional processing power will enable AI companies to train bigger and more intricate models, NVIDIA said. The chip includes what NVIDIA calls a transformer engine, specifically built to run transformer-based AI, one of the core technologies underpinning ChatGPT. The Blackwell GPU is large and combines two separately manufactured dies into one chip manufactured by TSMC. It will be available as an entire server called the GB200 NVLink 2, combining 72 Blackwell GPUs and other NVIDIA parts designed to train AI models. The GB200 pairs two B200 Blackwell GPUs with one ARM-based Grace CPU. NVIDIA said Amazon Web Services would build a server cluster with 20,000 GB200 chips. NVIDIA said that the system can deploy a 27 trillion parameter model. That's much larger than even the biggest models such as GPT-4, which reportedly has 1.7 trillion parameters. Many artificial intelligence researchers believe bigger models with more parameters and data could unlock new capabilities. NVIDIA didn't provide a cost for the new GB200 or the systems it's used in. NVIDIA's Hopper-based H100 costs between $25,000 and $40,000 per chip, with whole systems that cost as much as $200,000 according to analyst estimates, end quote. NVIDIA also announced NIM, a set of microservices designed to streamline the deployment of custom and pre-trained AI models into production environments. Quoting TechCrunch, NIM takes the software work NVIDIA has done around inferencing and optimizing models and makes it easily accessible by combining a given model with an optimized inference engine and then packing this into a container, making that accessible as a microservice. Typically, it would take developers weeks, if not months, to ship similar containers, NVIDIA argues, and that is if the company even has any in-house AI talent. With NIM, NVIDIA clearly aims to create an ecosystem of AI-ready containers that use its hardware as the foundational layer, with these curated microservices as the core software layer for companies that want to speed up their AI roadmap. NIM currently includes support for models from NVIDIA, A121, Adept, Cohere, Getty Images, and Shutterstock, as well as open models from Google, Hugging Face, Meta, Microsoft, Mistral AI, and Stability AI. NVIDIA is already working with Amazon, Google, and Microsoft to make these NIM microservices available on SageMaker, Kubernetes Engine, and Azure AI, respectively. They'll also be integrated into frameworks like DeepSet, LangChain, and Llama Index. As for the inference engine, NVIDIA will use the Triton interface server, TensorRT, and TensorRT LLM. Some of the NVIDIA microservices available through NIM will include Riva for customizing speech and translation models, QOpt for routing optimizations, and the Earth-2 model for weather and climate simulations. The company plans to add additional capabilities over time, including, for example, making the NVIDIA RAG LLM operator available as a NIM, which promises to make building generative AI chatbots that can pull in custom data a lot easier, end quote. But wait, there's more. NVIDIA also unveiled Project Groot, a general-purpose foundation model for humanoid robots, and Jetson Thor, a new computer designed specifically for humanoid robots. I told you folks are looking at AI unlocking the potential of robotics in a serious way right now, quoting TechCrunch. It's tough to argue with NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang when he notes, quote, building foundation models for general humanoid robots is one of the most exciting problems to solve in AI today. The humanoid form factor is one of the most hotly contested topics in the world of robotics at the moment, raising venture capital by the boatload, while generating massive skepticism along the way. Naturally, NVIDIA wants a piece. The chip giant has become arguably the most important hardware company in AI and has more recently been making a compelling case for itself as a driver for robotic innovation through initiatives like Isaac and Jetson. This week at its annual GTC developer conference, the company is planting its flag in the humanoid race with Project Groot, which may or may not be a nod to Marvel's talking space tree. The chip maker refers to the new platform as a general-purpose foundation model for humanoid robots. In essence, the company is building an AI platform for the recent spate of entries into the category, including companies like 1X Technologies, Agility Robotics, Aptronic, Boston Dynamics, Figure AI, Fourier Intelligence, Sanctuary AI, Unitree Robotics, and XPeng Robotics. That covers nearly every prominent humanoid robot maker at the moment, with a few notable exceptions like Tesla. Agility gets additional face time in the announcement, courtesy of a quote from co-founder and chief robotics officer Jonathan Hurst. Quote, we are at an inflection point in history with human-centric robots like Digit poised to change labor forever. Modern AI will accelerate development, paving the way for robots like Digit to help people in all aspects of daily life. We're excited to partner with NVIDIA to invest in the computing, simulation tools, machine learning environments, and other necessary infrastructure to enable the dream of robots being part of daily life, end quote. Groot will support new hardware from NVIDIA as well. Keeping things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is Jetson Thor, a new computer designed specifically for running simulation workflows, generative AI models, and more for the humanoid form factor. I continue to caution people away from casually tossing out terms like general purpose when describing these machines, but NVIDIA's keen interest is a validation for the category that will almost certainly accelerate development. This week's GTC robotics announcements include two more key programs, Isaac Manipulator and Isaac Perceptor. Manipulation has been a foundation aspect of robotics for decades now. Leading the way were the massive industrial robotic arms that have become a fixture of automotive manufacturing. The next generation will be even more dexterous and far more mobile. Naturally, NVIDIA wants a piece of the action. Isaac Manipulator offers state-of-the-art dexterity and modular AI capabilities for robotic arms with a robust collection of foundation models and GPU-accelerated libraries, the company writes. It provides up to an 80x speedup in path planning, and zero-shot perception increases efficiency and throughput, enabling developers to automate a greater number of new robotic tasks, end quote. NVIDIA already has some big names on board, including Franka Robotics, Picnic Robotics, Ready Robotics, Solomon Universal Robots, and Yaskawa, end quote. And one more thing, as previously mentioned, quoting VentureBeat, NVIDIA unveiled Earth 2 cloud platform for predicting climate change across the entire planet using simulations by AI supercomputers. In a bid to combat the increasing economic losses due to extreme weather patterns caused by climate change, NVIDIA has introduced Earth 2, a revolutionary climate digital twin cloud platform. Revealed at GTC, Earth 2 offers groundbreaking APIs designed to simulate and visualize weather and climate at an unprecedented scale, paving the way for more accurate forecasts and timely warnings, end quote. The past few weeks has really been when video generation has risen to the forefront of the AI moment. Here's another big step. Google researchers have detailed Vlogger, an AI model that can generate lifelike videos of people speaking, gesturing, and moving from just a single still photo, quoting VentureBeat. Described in a research paper titled Vlogger, Multimodal Diffusion for Embodied Avatar Synthesis, the AI model can take a photo of a person and an audio clip as input and then output a video that matches the audio showing the person speaking the words and making corresponding facial expressions, head movements, and hand gestures. The videos are not perfect, with some artifacts, but represent a significant leap in the ability to animate still images. The researchers, led by Enric Corona at Google Research, leveraged a type of machine learning model called diffusion models to achieve the novel result. Diffusion models have recently shown remarkable performance at generating highly realistic images from text descriptions, but by extending them into the video domain and training on a vast new dataset, the team was able to create an AI system that can bring photos to life in a highly convincing way. A key enabler was the curation of a huge new dataset called Mentor, containing over 80,000 diverse identities and 2,200 hours of video, an order of magnitude larger than what was previously available. This allowed Vlogger to learn to generate videos of people with varied ethnicities, ages, clothing, poses, and surroundings without bias, end quote. This could lead to some fascinating applications, including the ability to dub videos into various languages by changing the audio, edit videos to add missing frames smoothly, and generate videos of a person from just one photograph. This innovation paves the way for actors to offer detailed 3D models of themselves for new digital performances. Like, I could create a YouTube video of me speaking these words simply by uploading a photo of myself and this audio. It could also revolutionize the creation of lifelike avatars in virtual reality and gaming, as well as lead to more engaging and expressive AI-powered virtual assistants and chatbots. However, Vlogger is not without its flaws. The videos it produces as of now are short and set against a static backdrop. The characters do not navigate through three-dimensional spaces, and despite their realistic appearance, their gestures and vocal patterns cannot yet fully mimic those of actual people. More. Stability AI debuted Stable Video 3D, a generative AI tool built on its Stable Video Diffusion model, letting users create 3D video from a text or image prompt. Quoting VentureBeat, with SV3D, Stability AI is adding new depth to its video generation model with the ability to create and transform multi-view 3D meshes from a single input image. SV3D is now available for commercial use with a Stability AI professional membership, $20 per month for creators and developers with less than $1 million in annual revenue. For non-commercial purposes, users can download the model weights from Hugging Face. By adapting our Stable Video Diffusion image-to-video diffusion model with the addition of camera path conditioning, Stable Video 3D is able to generate multi-view videos of an object, the company wrote in a blog post detailing the new model. Stable Video 3D is a valuable tool for generating 3D assets, especially within the gaming sector, Varun Jampani, lead researcher at Stability AI, told VentureBeat. Additionally, it enables the production of 360-degree orbital videos, which are useful in e-commerce, providing a more immersive and interactive shopping experience, end quote. Update on the whole TikTok situation. Sources say senior Department of Justice officials plan to hold closed-door Senate briefings today and tomorrow to advance a TikTok divestiture, quoting Bloomberg. The department's push, led by Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, is aimed at divestment of the popular video-sharing app from its Chinese parent, ByteDance Limited, as opposed to an outright ban in the U.S., said one of the people who asked not to be identified speaking about confidential matters. Monaco and other national security officials have been working behind the scenes with key lawmakers to pass legislation that would result in TikTok being divested and perhaps bought by U.S. investors or an American entity, the person said. The Justice Department is also developing its first ever regulations to prevent China and others from buying sensitive personal data about U.S. citizens from commercial brokers as part of a White House executive order issued last month. Monaco said in the interview about the data security regulations that the aim is to close a loophole that allows adversaries to buy certain categories of sensitive U.S. personal and government data, end quote. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal from Factor is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. I'm talking about everything from pancakes to smoothies. Factor has a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. And here's the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. This has become my wife's go-to for lunch. She takes a Factor into the office every day to enjoy a quick, nutritious lunch without having to go to expensive and frantic Midtown lunch places. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Head to factormeals.com/ride50 and use code ride50 to get 50% off. That's code ride50 at factormeals.com/ride50 to get 50% off. Let's be real for a minute. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is that most t-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work or out on a hot date night. But today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, you heard that. Wrinkle-free. You never have to substitute comfort for fashion ever again. If you see me in a t-shirt, it's likely one from Cuts. I'm also a huge fan of their AO 5-pocket pants. The right sort of step up from jeans without going all the way into dress pants. Like, literally, my ideal Venn diagram of professional looking but comfortable feeling. When you touch something from Cuts, you can immediately feel the quality. Their proprietary fabric blends are ridiculously soft and breathable. They don't wrinkle, and they look way more expensive than they actually are. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code RIDE at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with promo code RIDE. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing. cutsclothing.com, promo code RIDE for 20% off. And allow me to put Playtron on your radar. This startup raised a $10 million seed round to build a Linux-based platform-agnostic gaming OS to replace Windows or Steam OS, starting with handheld consoles. Quoting The Verge, "What if there were an Android of gaming, an OS you could install on any capable hardware to get a controller-friendly PC experience? Imagine an epic deck that could actually play Fortnite, a 5G deck for cellular carriers, or maybe a PlayStation deck for Sony's growing PC ambitions. If Valve can do this with Steam, we can do this with anything," says Kurt McMaster, CEO of Playtron. "It begins with a Linux-based operating system that plays Windows games just like the Steam Deck, except this one isn't tied to Steam. Games you've bought from the Epic Games Store are first-class citizens too. Today, in early alpha form, it doesn't look all that exciting, a lightweight OS that replaces Windows or Steam OS on your existing handheld gaming PC with fewer features and compatible games than its peers. While it definitely played Death Stranding, Dave the Diver, and Hours of Balatro just as well as my Steam Deck, not all games that work there necessarily work here yet. But within a year, Playtron believes it'll be competing with Windows as the OS for gaming handhelds. We're in conversation with numerous OEMs and mobile operators to build and deploy Playtron devices around the world in the 2025 timeframe," McMaster tells me, adding that Ionio plans to ship a native Playtron handheld by the end of 2024. Playtron will cost companies like Ionio a fraction of the price of Windows, he says, around $10 per head instead of the $80 that OEMs tell him they spend today. And he says games like Fortnite and Roblox shouldn't have to fear hackers reverse engineering their anti-cheat solutions because its Fedora Silverblue base has an immutable file system. I thought SteamOS was immutable too, but I'll let more knowledgeable Linux users argue that one. Playtron isn't just looking at handhelds, by the way. It imagines every laptop, tablet, phone, TV, and car becoming at least a part-time gaming machine. Remember Apple's journey to bring big games to its own ARM-based silicon? McMaster says he's hired the developer behind Box 86 to bring Windows games to efficient ARM-based silicon, potentially getting us out of the rut where today's portable PCs max out at 2 to 3 hours of AAA gaming battery life. If you're wondering how a brand new startup convinces hardware manufacturers and mobile carriers with what looks like a glorified games launcher and a few big ideas, you're not alone. Even Playtron's allies aren't trying to claim this is a sure bet. It's a game of conditions. Probabilities. 10 different things need to happen, and each of them has a very low probability of success, says Carlos Castanellos, an investor at Samsung Next, who led Playtron's first round of funding. Game publishers, hardware manufacturers, cellular carriers, and the community would all need to be engaged. But Castellanos and former PlayStation CEO Sean Layden, a friend of the project, thinks this team has a chance to win at a time few others are stepping up to lead. "We don't go out into the world awash in handheld gaming platforms," said Layden. "There's room for someone who can make the right proposition," end quote. Finally today, I have a quick update about a portfolio company for you, Stashpad. Came on the show about a year and a half ago to talk about their lightweight tool aimed at developers looking to organize their thoughts. Now they've added Stashpad Docs, a super lightweight Google Docs competitor. In fact, if you read between the lines here, Stashpad is clearly building out a whole super simplified Google Workspace, Google Suite competitor. I've actually moved to using Stashpad Docs as a dead simple way to collaborate on documents myself. No learning curve, no login required. You should check it out. Listen to this quick interview to learn more. Kara Bornstein, thanks for coming on the Tech Meme Ride Home again for your second time to tell us what Stashpad is up to.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what you're up to, folks might have seen this on Product Hunt recently, but you have a full new feature, full new product, Stashpad Docs. So let's just start right there. What is Stashpad Docs? Because people, as they're listening to this, can try it out right now as they're listening.
Yeah. So Stashpad Docs is a minimal Google Docs alternative, and it has Markdown support and doesn't require a login. And basically how we got started working on it, for anyone who remembers me being on a little while back, we were working on a product, Stashpad Lists, which is for personal note-taking. And as we were doing discovery calls with folks to understand what they'd want collaboratively, we noticed something really surprising, which is that even in companies where there officially was Confluence or officially was Notion, there were just all these Google Docs all over the place. And Google Docs is lightweight, has a lot of benefits, but it really isn't all that modern of an experience. It doesn't have great Markdown support or dark theme, things that developers want. And we found that the like authentication handling really gets in the way of just quickly getting in and brainstorming with people. And so Stashpad Docs is our new product. It's that minimal Google Docs alternative. You can try it right away. You just type stash.new into your browser and would be super excited to hear what you think.
One of the things that appeals to me about this, so like I said, you can be listening right now and just go try it out. Like, there's no login, as you say. Chris and I use Notion for like preparing for episodes and also doing investment. And so like I'll be talking to Chris sometimes and I'll be like, what's this company all about? He's like, well, it's in Notion. And then I'm like, great, because I know it's going to take me 4 minutes to find what the hell he wants me to find or whatever. But like, if I just needed to be like, we're about to do an interview with somebody, let's jam on the questions we're going to ask. We do turn to Google Docs for that, but then that's a whole nother thing of like getting, I can literally be like, Chris, let's go, let's jam on it right now. We can both like there's not 9 clicks to do something. It's just like, let's go and like, let's start collaborating in real time.
Exactly. And that's part of why the no login requirement is so important, because maybe you do have the same company domain, but maybe you don't, and you don't want to think about, okay, let's make sure I have exactly the permissions right, because that's just too much friction. You'll end up using like some sort of chat instead is what we see. And so instead you just make a link in Stashpad Docs, share it, and right away you can be in brainstorming.
Again, you can just type in right now docs.stashpad.com.
Or stash.new is the shorthand for that. Yep, stash.new.
I'm old, so I like the way of doing it. So again, I'm using the example of like what I would use Docs or Notion for, but this is very developer friendly with Markdown support and stuff like that. So again, if you're working with your, you know, co-developer across the country and it's like, no, here's the let me just cut and paste this into this and I'll show you, like, it's like literally that sort of simple stuff.
Yep, exactly. And similar to with our first product, Stashpad Lists, we've just been obsessed with performance when it comes to this product. So even though it's in the browser, which we think is important for that lightweight collaboration, we've been really obsessed with making it as fast as possible. So we've had a number of people say, oh, I didn't even think of Google Docs as being slow, but this is just noticeably so much faster. And the reason why is on the back end, we're using an architecture that has sub 50 millisecond collaborative interactions pretty much no matter where you are in the world. And it also is using a local first architecture. So you're going to have that same like really snappy feel that you would have if you were just like writing to a plain text file on your computer.
And then if I sign up for, you know, like a subscription or whatever, what are the extra bells and whistles I get aside from like you'll priority support, you'll pay attention to me when I send in an email. What else do I get for signing up for this?
So one thing we've seen that for most people, just doing stash.new, creating a doc and not having additional access control is enough. It's on a nano ID, so it's like virtually unguessable, similar to how Loom works. But then there are some companies that want to lock things down. So like by default, you have to have the same company email address in order to be able to access the docs. So basically logging in gives you the option to add those additional permissions. It also makes it, I mentioned the local first architecture and anonymous stuff, which basically means that it's tied to your browser. And so if you want to be able to access across different devices, different browsers, then logging in will let you do so. And that's included in the free plan.
And Stashpad Lists is still available as well.
It is. And we have seen an uptick in interest with the launch of Stashpad Docs. So it's exciting to see both resonating really based on what you're looking for.
Well, it is, you know, one of the things that I was sold on when we first started talking was this idea of it being so lightweight and like removing, like, it's almost like, I think we talked about last time, like sometimes you almost instinctively revert back to like a note file or something like that. Something where it's like, you know, I just, all the cruft gone, I just need to quickly jam on something, right? And so it's almost like you guys are continuing to iterate on that same idea for productivity.
Definitely.
You're doing the minimum viable Google Suite of productivity stuff.
Yep, and it really is the same. Like what we had talked about, I think last time, is that the whole need for the notepad is serving your working memory, or for the fellow geeks out there, it's like your RAM, like a computer. And so just as folks need that personal working memory, there's also a need for that shared working memory, shared RAM, as you're jamming with another developer on a project. So yeah, super, super excited to be able to continue with this new product that we have.
And since this is your second time on, I wrote it down. You were on in August of 2022, if people want to look up that episode. Just because, you know, we're following along with your progress, how are things at Stashpad? What have you learned over the last year and a half, or struggles you've had to overcome over the last year and a half? How's Stashpad going?
Yeah, so it's going well. We've definitely had ups and downs. And so basically something that we had learned with Stashpad Lists, which is our first product and has that same philosophy, is that the way that we've designed it creates too much of a learning curve for a number of people. So for some people, they love it. They're like, keyboard shortcuts, I'm all in. But for a lot of people, they're like, this is just a little too different from that plain text file, and learning the keyboard shortcuts takes too long. And so through that discovery, and also through seeing that this collaborative piece is something that's so core to how people are working, and while it works, it doesn't work in a delightful way, especially not for a technical person. That's kind of what led us to explore Stashpad Docs. And Stashpad Docs, although we're still seeing interest in Stashpad Lists, Stashpad Docs definitely has had a pickup much faster. Overall, Stashpad Lists has around 10,000 people who have tried it. And in just the last 3 days, we've had 10,000 people try Stashpad Docs and convert at a much higher rate. So we're really excited, kind of using the learnings from Stashpad Lists of like, I personally still love it. And like, I know all the keyboard shortcuts and that's great, but like, it is, you have to invest in that if you want to benefit from that product. And so with Stashpad Lists, we're taking just this obsession with simplicity, zero learning curve, just start typing, use Markdown just like you already know, or you can brush up on Markdown if you've forgotten some of it. And that's a lot what we're going for with Stashpad Docs.
I think that's a good learning for anyone developing a product, which especially a product where you start from the first principles of I'm doing this because it's something I myself want to use. And the kernel of that idea is often right, but not every user is like you. And so like, even if the kernel of your original inspiration works, paying attention to how your actual users do it differently than you yourself do, like it's not like you have to abandon the kernel of your idea, but if you pay attention to how users are using it, that original kernel can go further. And I'm going to come back to the you know, Chris loves Notion and all of the 10,000 features that I look at it and my eyes glaze over and I don't know where to find anything, versus, hey, I can just do search in my email and get the answer to the question that I wanted, right? So it's like, that's a good learning in terms of not every user is like you, but that doesn't mean that you have to abandon the idea that got you the product in the first place.
Definitely, definitely. And a lot of it was also like there are folks that love the Stashpad list has like this DM style interface. And so there are people that love it, but there are a lot of people that find it to be too big of a change. But one thing that we did see just like really consistently and continues to see in the feedback is like, I love that I could just write in Markdown. And that makes me really happy. And so just kind of like taking a pause back and listening to that, we were able to go in this direction of Stashpad docs. And yeah, one other thing I can share that's really fun and kind of a learning for me as a founder is we were kind of ending last year and seeing that Stashpad lists was not growing all that much. So it's like growing, but slowly and not what you need to see for a startup. And so we had been doing all of these discovery interviews thinking we wanted to add multiplayer to lists but kind of like discussing those as a team. And so we all took off for holiday, like Christmas to New Year's, and we come back in the office and two of the four of us had actually created a prototype for what became Stashpad Docs independently. And so kind of just sitting with the customer feedback, what we know how to do, the libraries we know that are available to us, that we know how to build on, that kind of was just where the customer feedback was screaming at us to go. And so it wasn't me that made that prototype. It was my teammate Theo and my teammate Nick independently. And that once we started showing it to people, we just saw the conversion rate was much better. And we're excited to continue with it.
Parallel thinking, great minds think alike. one quick note, I've been slandering Notion all this time, but it's Airtable that Chris uses that I'm looking at it right now and I don't know where to go. Simplicity is why I bought into Stashpad and your idea from the beginning. So again, docs.stashpad.com or stash.new. Try it right now. Is there anything else that the listeners, do you have any asks if people are excited about this, aside from trying the product, if they want to get involved, anything that you want listeners to know or contribute or anything like that?
So biggest thing is to try the product, and you can either join our Discord, which you'll see from our website, or send me an email, kara@stashpad.com, to share any feedback. And then one thing we have going on right now that we're really excited about is we actually already have an API for Stashpad Docs, and we're starting on building those first integrations. And so if you have ideas of how integrations can work, if you want to even build your own integration, I'd love to talk with you about that. That'd be a lot of fun and helpful for me.
Yeah, if you try out Stashpad Docs, and it's a great tool, and you'd love to use it with your tool, get in touch with Kara and make it happen. Thanks for coming back on again, Kara, and I can't wait for the next Stashpad Suite product to come out sometime. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Brian.